present the News Quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz, which comes this week from the British Council in London. We start with a cutting from The Guardian, read by Charlotte Green.
Queensland mother, Janine Kilgour, 32, was fined £233 after her 12-year-old daughter took the woman's marijuana plant to school to show her class.
Thanks to the various people who sent that in. Now, let's meet the teams. We do welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams and Ian Hislop. Facing them, on my left, Alan Corran and Jermaine Greer. Before we start round one, here's a piece spotted in The Guardian by Anne Milne of Kent.
When Martin Mears and his wife Marina arrived at their hotel in Los Cristianos, Tenerife, a fellow tourist committed suicide by leaping from a balcony. Mr. Mears, who runs the City Arms in Cardiff, said yesterday, "Just before we arrived at the hotel, we learned they'd found a headless corpse and a suitcase in the foyer. We began to suspect then that the hotel wasn't all it was cracked up to be."
Richard, your question, of course, starts the programme. Can a provisional peace be completely permanent?
Well, I'd like to begin by saying yes and no. Can it be permanent? Well, we all hope it will be, and let's hope that it will be.
And what if it won't be?
Well, a lot of people don't want it to be, do they? I mean, I think there's a lot of disappointment amongst the ranks of Paisley and Co. They all feel a sense of anticlimax.
Yeah, I mean, how dare the IRA lay down its arms?
I know. It's all very disappointing.
Absolutely disgraceful behaviour.
The thought that violence might come to an end. What are they going to do? They might not be on the telly anymore.
I mean, sales of balaclavas are going to take a real dive.
Pick the bones out of the last 25 years there quite well.
There's the troubles for you.
You didn't answer the question. You're running for office, aren't you?
Ah, well, the new chairman is Jermaine Greer. And,
she's so bossy, you've got to watch her.
Do you think Jermaine's full of testosterone?
She failed the test before the programme.
Oh, that's what you were doing.
There's not a lot around here.
Oh. Ian, your question now. Who said 5 million no's to a foreign party giveaway?
I think this is Tony Blair. Mm-hmm. Tony Blair said no to a Bangladeshi businessman
right.
who offered him 5 million quid.
That's right.
You can tell he's not a Tory. Put it straight in his pocket. No, he was offered 5 million quid by a businessman for Labour Party funds, and he said, no, we're not going to be in thrall to big business. We've watched other people do that, and it doesn't work. You get in three times in a row.
He's thought to be a reincarnation of Robert Maxwell.
I beg your pardon, Richard.
And that was why there was suspicion of him.
I see.
Well, nobody knows quite who he is. I think they feared it was a kind of Tory conspiracy to blacken the Labour Party.
It could well be.
But
could
they
be.
Do know who he is. It's just you two don't know who he is.
Who is he, Jermaine?
His name is Musa bin Shamshar. And he is the head of the DATCO employment agency in Dakar. I think it's very unbecoming of you to suppose that he's not known.
I think he's definitely Robert Maxwell from the Sunday. Well, he swam to Dakar.
He's very good looking. The first thing, he's very good looking.
How much did you take to give all this information, especially the bit about his being good-looking and that wonderful pronunciation of Dakar?
Well, look,
it reminded me of Angela Rippon at her worst.
Let me tell you, this is the Labour Party, which has turned down a donation of £5 million from a Bangladeshi businessman because it opposes gifts from foreign benefactors. Well, it would go against everything they've held dear for the last week and a half. And we'll move on to your question, Jermaine, which is this. Who said, "I should cocoa to more support for the party"?
I should what?
I should cocoa.
It's type of drink. It's type of drink. Often taken at bedtime.
Not by me, sir. What we are referring to is yet another peaked millionaire. It appears that somebody rejoicing in the name of Cadbury has been burgled, which he takes to be the fault of the Tory party, which is rather odd reasoning, but he's not a young person. He's roughly your age. And,
43, eh?
And he's said that if he can't be protected from burglary, he cannot see why he should give scads of money to the Tories. I think that's the story, and his name is
it
Peter.
It is.
So he's finally noticed there's a problem with crime, has he?
Only when he had it in his own backyard.
That's right. It's all about lifelong Conservative supporter Peter Cadbury, who blames John Major for a burglary at his house. So would any listeners attending a car boot sale this week please look out for a grey-haired man in glasses trying to offload a couple of second-hand video recorders. Alan, first piece of music is for you. Keep on running.
Understand? Oh yeah, I'm gonna be your man. Keep on running.
Won't surprise you, that was called Keep On Running. And your question is, Alan, what fine specimen provided a fine specimen that fared second best in the second test?
This is about this very unfortunate lady who is pumping out enormous amounts of testosterone. In the days when the East German women did it, as you could see from their beards, it didn't seem to matter. But because she's an English woman, she's being shafted by the International Athletics Federation and being made to pee every time she moves. And this unfortunate woman has not been alone in the lavatory for some years. These ghastly men in white coats crouching beneath her, waiting to take her records away. I think it's awful.
This is athlete Diane Modal, the drugs test athlete who flew into Heathrow 2 hours before her plane. And, Modal, who was sent home from the Commonwealth Games, faces a ban after a second drugs test proved positive, so positive that her sample could be heard singing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
In a baritone, presumably.
Well, yes. And the scores at the end of the first round are, traditionally, for all. We start round two with a news item from The Times.
Pornographic filmmakers have outraged residents of a village in southwest France by filming outdoor sex acts on roofs and car bonnets. One woman claims her geese have been disturbed.
Thank you, Joanne Melkman of Hove, for that. Richard, your turn for a question again. Who went Russian home after going Deutsch for 50 years?
I think this might refer to the departure of a lot of soldiers, is it?
Right, yes, it does.
From Germany, where they were.
Right.
And these people have all gone home, having sold their rifles, I think, to the Germans, and probably their uniforms as well.
How do you know the answer to this?
Because I read it in the Telegraph. It's awfully good, you know.
Is this your new technique for getting questions right? Reading the paper? It's terribly good. I'm very impressed.
Up on the Telegraph.
A jolly good paper and a jolly good answer. It is the final withdrawal of Russian troops from eastern Germany, where they've been since the end of World War II. Boris Yeltsin appeared in Berlin to wave off his 370,000 troops and made a speech complaining that the Russians hadn't been invited to the D-Day celebrations. Well, it's hardly surprising. The last time anyone in Europe invited them along, it took 50 years before they went home. Ian, whose pay proposals were considered a sick joke?
This is the doctors, isn't it? Performance-related pay.
Yes.
They've got to cure you quicker.
Yes.
Get you out of bed faster so they can put someone else in it. Oh, the government, having voted itself and all the other MPs a huge increase, has decided that doctors should have a decrease. Seems fair enough.
This is about government proposals to make doctors pay performance-related. The doctors are now considering industrial action and wrote a letter to Jimmy Knapp for advice. Unfortunately, Jimmy couldn't read a word of it, but when he rang up to tell them, they couldn't understand him either.
Three times a day.
Germaine, here's something for you to listen to.
Cool Britannia, Britannia, you are cool. Take a trip. Britons ever, ever, ever shall be hip, 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 hip.
Oh, was enjoying that. The Bonzo Dog Band, Cool Britannia, that was. And your question is, Germaine, what would be floated with firm ideas?
It's about the royal yacht.
Yes.
It appears that the nation can't afford the yacht. Only businessmen could afford the yacht. They don't want it to disappear because they think it's rather showy. And they want to raise £1.5 million and run it as... I think they just want to run it. They want to take over the financing of the Royal Yacht.
That's right.
It's going to be rechristened the Lady Mary Archer. Going to float round the world selling shares.
And smelling wonderful.
Geoffrey could sign books on it.
Yes, he could.
And then throw them overboard.
This is the scheme to allocate the Queen £57 million to replace Britannia. In recent years, the yacht has been seen in use mainly for royal honeymoons, but the idea now is to rent it out to promote British businesses. And if it works as well promoting exports as it did getting marriages going, then Lord help the balance of payments. Alan, who might enjoy a free trip after managing to give the signal?
There's a fearful penalty being exacted on strike breakers, quite rightly too, in my opinion. Anybody who breaks the signalman's strike by turning up for work and moving signals about is going to be given a trip to the Channel Tunnel when it opens.
Couldn't Bob Horton go on holiday for a couple of years?
Who?
Bob Horton, remember him?
No.
No.
They're jolly ignorant here.
We can't do impersonations of him. We can only do Jimmy Knapp.
Horton's rather easier. He just talks garbage.
Railtrack plan to give strike breakers one day special European leave, which means that for 24 hours, managers can enjoy the chic splendour of a points failure just outside Orpington. So, the good news for managers is that they've secured a selection of free trips at Manning signal boxes 3 times a week. But the bad news is that they've all lost their jobs because if they can afford to spend 3 days in a signal box, who needs managers? And the scores at the end of round two are amazingly still tied at 8-all. We start round three with a cutting from the South Wales Evening Post, sent by Jonathan Higgins of Cardiff.
A Port Talbot householder who heeded a police warning not to store expensive equipment in garages and sheds because of the risk of theft has had his cement mixer stolen from under the stairs of his home.
Richard, whose mate gave him a nasty bite? You might need help here.
Yes, I'm sure I expect I will, almost certainly if it's difficult.
I'll give you a visual clue.
Right. Yes. It's a man playing chess.
With a computer.
Brilliant.
Or drafts, it could be drafts.
Probably chess, Richard.
Is it?
I'd stick to chess.
With a computer.
With a computer, very good.
Yes, now this does ring a bell.
Oh, thank God for that.
It's Garry Kasparov, who's a chess player.
Yes, that's right.
And he played a computer and lost.
Exactly.
10-1.
Was the computer drug-tested afterwards?
This is world chess champion Garry Kasparov, who was beaten by a Pentium computer. Kasparov made a basic error during the end game when he failed to use the C-board gambit of main power switch to off position. The computer is capable of making 166 million movements a second, or slightly less than a British 800-metre runner. Ian, here's some music for you. Never could believe the things you do to me. I never could believe the way you are. Every day I bless the day that you got through to me. Cause baby, I believe that you're a star. Everyone's a winner. Well, that was Everyone's a Winner, and your question is, what winner became a loser after experiencing a true crime?
This is Michael Winner, who's, I think he makes films, or he used to. Things like Death Rape 7. Anyway, he also makes a television programme called True Crimes. in which he tastefully recreates recent murders for the benefit of people's relatives who are watching, just in case they'd forgotten the circumstances in which their loved ones were killed. And for some unknown reason, this programme has been taken off by Carlton. That's a cracker, isn't it? Carlton takes off a bad programme.
Who is Carlton?
Carlton. He's a Bangladeshi businessman.
My paper said Michael Winner's TV show axed. I wanted to see the axe. I wanted to see who did the axing. I wanted to see it all reconstructed and played in very slow motion for the benefit of people at home. Of course, the fear about that would be that television companies would not want people at home to imitate it. Once people learn how to axe programmes, there won't be anything left standing.
No, it's all about Michael Winner, obviously, the man who did for the British film industry. That's all there is of that.
Nice one.
Germain, which fox showed faith in the green belt?
Which fox showed faith?
It's about the rebirth. Her statue began lactating.
Could be.
Turned out to be Samantha Fox.
Could be
about a reborn Samantha Fox.
Oh, it's about Samantha Fox.
That's right, Germain. Thank you. That's good.
Stood up in this field and millions of people fell slaving to their feet. He said, I believe in God. There is Samantha Fox doing it. She came on and sang a lot of dirty songs and said she was a Christian and sold a few records. It's on page 3 of Genesis.
It is. This is about Samantha Fox, who wowed fans at the Greenbelt Christian Festival. Leading theologians believe Samantha's conversion provides conclusive proof that on the sixth day, God created Essex. Alan, who went social climbing from the roof of the world to Surrey?
Oh, this is Budgie the Sherpa, isn't it? I mean, it's the grand old Duchess of York who had 10,000 men. Marched them up to the top of the hill and marched them down. And when they were up, they were up. Of course, when they were only halfway up, she tended to ditch them in favour of somebody else. One of the hills she went up was Everest, with a Sherpa for about 4 bob a week, who did everything for her. She took him back to this enormous Tudor residence she has, Hazelmere, or wherever it is, and he now lives with her. He's called Yeltsin.
That's right.
Why she has a Sherpa called... I don't know why she got a helicopter called Budgie, but I mean, she's got a Sherpa called Yeltsin now. There's probably going to be a range of Yeltsin the Sherpa books. Yeltsin the Sherpa goes quantity surveying. Fascinating titles like that. But anyway, the mad redhead has got this unfortunate Nepalese living in the attic.
It's all about the Duchess of York, absolutely right, Alan, and her live-in Sherpa, who's helping out with her mountaineering technique. At least that's how she's explained being discovered hanging off a chandelier rope to a Tibetan houseboy. We appear mercifully to have come to the end of another round, and yet tension builds upon tension. It's still tied at 12 all. Richard, here's your music.
I don't want to say goodbye for the summer. Knowing the love we'll miss, oh, let us make a pledge to meet in September and seal it with a kiss.
Well, that was Brian Hyland singing Sealed with a Kiss.
No, you could have fooled me.
And your question is, who wrote off £500 with a kiss? And I'll take any odds you don't know the answer.
Well, I think you might be rather amazed by this, Barry. There was a punter. What had happened to him? He'd had some piece of good fortune, and he went up to this woman in the street, and then the accounts diverged between what happened between his account and her account. He said he was so overcome by... I think he might have had a joke read out on the news quiz or something. He was so overcome by the news that he had to kiss the first woman he met. And her story was very different. Of course, the court believed her story.
Well, they would, wouldn't they,
Richard?
They would,
yes, they would. I mean, this is what happens nowadays here, and let's face it.
Courts entirely run by women.
That's it.
I've noticed that.
That's it. Anyway, I had to pay £500.
That's right.
I think it's really sad. We all ought to feel for him, because he actually got a book advance.
a book advance.
And it was right. A tiny weeny book advance. It was £500 for the illustrated history of excavators. And I happen to think it's a brilliant idea to do a book on excavators. I've always longed to know the early history of bulldozers.
Well, there you are. You see, so many people have the wrong idea about you, Jermaine. There you are. Taking the man's side in the story. I mean,
I didn't say
I think it's very moving. Well, you're feeling sympathy towards him. You're feeling sorry.
I feel enraged that the man was offered £500 advance. I think that's completely unfair. Give the man a decent advance, for heaven's sake.
Because the book was published. That's why he ran out into the street. He was so excited.
Yeah, it has.
I've been published.
Where can I get a copy?
38 years, and I do it every time. And at 70, the woman is now becoming grateful.
Well, this one was 25.
I know.
Ungrateful.
Mine wasn't a start. Yours wasn't.
Well, well, well. You learn more on this program than you do on many. It's all about the man called Hinton Sherin.
No relation.
No. I don't think you can be confused with Ned Sherin. I don't. Because he leapt out and stole a kiss from a young lady in the street.
Oh, impossible.
Are you suggesting Ned wouldn't have done that?
No, I'm not. I'm sure he'd be denying
it. I do hope you weren't, Barry.
After the unwelcome clinch, he invited his victim, Miss Claire Stacey, back to his flat to see photographs and videos of mining machinery. Certainly a bit more original than etchings. And prompts the question, did the earth move and move for you, darling? Ian, who went inside to pull off an outside job?
To do with prisons?
It is to do with prisons.
A burglar went to prison in order to do a job while he was in prison and use it as an alibi.
Brilliant. Applause for that.
It's not quite right, but it's
the plot of an old Ealing comedy.
It is.
And then the prisoners complained of the lax security when the prison was burgled.
Quite right. Give Jermaine a bonus for that.
She's such a swat, and now they're going to win.
These are burglars who broke into Rudgate Prison and stole a safe. Yes, it's just as well all the drugs and booze are kept safely under lock and key in the inmates' cells. Prison authorities say the burglars could have... Thank you. Better late than never. Prison authorities say the burglars could have had inside information. Honestly, you can't trust anybody these days. Jermaine, your time for a question now. What grave idea will get on top of the departed?
I think this must be a reference to the fact that you can't stay buried forever anymore. Most people in Europe are not buried forever. It's just the English who imagine that when you've gone 6 feet under, you're going to be undisturbed forever. Mm-hmm. And apparently we're running out of grave space. And so, the great idea is we're going to dig up the ones who are in. We're going to dig out old bodies in order to put new bodies in. Unless you have a family plot in which you all get thrown in on top of each other.
People are being buried in layers. You may have double-decker graves. No standing upstairs, no spitting. in twos. I actually went once... This is true. It's to show what an idiot I am. I once went to... There's a man called Kenny Devitt who runs Highgate Cemetery, where I thought I might get buried when I was sort of looking at various plots and little bits there. And it was £2,300 for a plot side by side, but only £1,400, one on top of the other. It was me and the missus... And I thought, embarrassed by this, I said, yes, but you know, who's the lower one and who's the upper one? And he said, it shows how dumb I am, the lower one is the one who died first. Never occurred to me before that.
He didn't say, how was it in life, sir, did he?
What I was thinking, but he wasn't saying that.
Anyway, that's the answer.
It is the answer. Very comprehensively answered. Well done. This is the proposal to save space in cemeteries by making graves double-deckers. Typical, isn't it? You wait all your life for a grave. And then two come along at once. Alan, where did a police case turn out to be cheeky and impudent on the nose?
Well, an Essex policeman, having a bit of a knees-up, said at some point, wouldn't it be nice if coppers caught somebody once? And if they did, we would give them a case of booze. And they, I think posters were handed out saying, any policeman who catches anybody doing anything or finds Mrs. Simpson's dog will be performance-related and will get a case of Brown Bay Chardonnay. And it turned out all to be wrong. It was just policemen having their little joke, and little it was.
Absolutely right, Alan. It's all about the Essex police, those well-known connoisseurs of vintage wines, and their incentive scheme to improve clear-up rates. A spokesman said the idea was a joke which got out of hand. It is not police force policy to offer inducements to arresting officers. We expect those being arrested to do that. That is not a direct quote. I made that bit up. Now then. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Richard, have you brought a cutting for us?
This is another police story, as it happens, Perry, and I didn't make up the quote. It's from the Eastbourne and District Advertiser.
Oh.
Says, a young thief broke into a Nissan Sunny car in Penhill Road, Eastbourne, on Tuesday evening and stole a bag containing literature on Jehovah's Witnesses. A police spokesman said, God knows who did it.
Thank you, Richard. Ian?
This is from the Observer Sports section. He said England lost the chance of a possible gold medal in the gymnastics men's team competition when Paul Bowler was forced to pull out during the event with a hernia. Teammate Neil Thomas, the overall individual leader after the first day's competition, added, I think we would have gone on to win the gold. We're absolutely gutted.
Jermaine.
This little gem was picked up by a gentleman called Mr. Pyle from Orkney, and it comes from the Sunday Times, and it's a quote from a piece by Annabel Heseltine. Have we become so arrogant that just because they have a biological alarm clock ringing in their wombs, women can presume to have babies willy-nilly?
Alan.
I have a little logical teaser from the Brighton Argus, Barry. It asked by the magistrate, Mr. C.M. Lorry, why he had given the police a false name and address, Clark replied, I suffer from a psychological condition which often makes it impossible for me to tell the truth. The magistrate then asked him, are you telling me the truth about that? And after a moment or two, Clark replied, no. He was remanded for a psychiatrist.
Well played. Well, thank you all. Let's look at the final scores, which are quite interesting, because Richard and Ian have got a splendid 16, your best score for a long, long time. But thanks to Jermaine and her bonus, Alan and Jermaine have won. They got 17. This week's winners, well done. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from The Times, sent in by Michael Hammerson of London.
A young girl who was blown out to sea on a set of inflatable teeth was rescued by a man...
Go it, Charlotte.
was rescued by a man on an inflatable lobster. Coast Guard spokesman commented, this sort of thing is all too common.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Alan Corran, Ian Hislop and Jermaine Greer. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Charlotte Green. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and